Chapter 52 The Wedding, Part 2 We began the next part of the ceremonies. Unlike Mei Hua's wedding, where there had still been a few things to complete beforehand, I already had most things done, including setting up all the seating. The only thing that was left was the food. I had asked for the animals to be slaughtered off the property for Chunky's sake. There were pigs in this batch, and I didn't know how he would react. Better safe than sorry. I didn't want my boy to get sad on my wedding day. It would have been nice to just have cuts of meat ready, but there wasn't really any real refrigeration above ground, so the meat likely would have spoiled. There would be a lot of food, courtesy of the Lord Magistrate. Really, the guy was practically bankrolling the entire wedding feast. I'd have to get him something to thank him. The air was still nice and warm, lucky for us, as we were going to be outside all day, as was customary. But some customs I wasn't too fond of. Like this one, sitting stock still in the pavilion for hours with your intended so people could pay their respects. We had to be available up here at all times. While everybody else got to wander around and have fun, we were stuck on our asses. It was a party out there, and we couldn't join. So we ended up just watching what was going on. Mei Mei's eyes kept darting back to the house for some reason, while I watched people stoke fires and get everything else ready. The bed was brought out from one of the carts, along with the sheets and mattress. Mei Hua was the one who carried the first piece in, but the rest was taken up by Hu Li and Sholan. It was rather lucky our cultivator friend was there, actually, otherwise it would have taken a team of women to get anything up the stairs. It was a big and sturdy thing, and some of the pillars were too heavy for pregnant Mei Hua to even try to lift. I still thought it was weird that the women had to set up the bed. I just really hoped they wouldn't be checking for blood later. I didn't remember anything like that from Mei Hua's wedding, so we were probably safe from that indignity. While they were assembling the bed, Mei Ling and I were treated to a drink. And then we were on to the less awkward part of the gift-giving tradition, though maybe because this was something I was a bit more familiar with. Giving somebody something for their wedding was just something that was done. There was a little bit of squabbling over who got to give us gifts first. It seemed to be between Mei Hua, Ting Feng, and Sholan. Mei Hua and Ting Feng were surprisingly standing up to the cultivator. The quite pregnant woman had her arms crossed and wasn't budging an inch. Sholan actually looked mildly impressed.
Jin, Mei Ling whispered from beside me. Why do you have that giant rock beside our house?
You remember the rock we had our first kiss on? I asked back.
Yes, but why does that matter?
Her eyes widened as she realized what I was implying. Her jaw dropped, and she looked quickly back and forth between me and the rock. She opened her mouth to say something, yet no words came out. She tried again, and there was nothing. Finally, she got out,
You brought the rock we first kissed on.
Yep. Mei Ling's face went through several stages. Shock, disbelief, confusion, and finally settling on the what the hell's Jin face.
What the hell's Jin?
She asked, her lips quirking into a smile.
I like that rock. It's a nice rock. There's also a place in the woods not far from here that has trees in the same arrangement. No need to go out to Verdant Hill to sit on my favorite rock.
Her face screwed up. We were technically supposed to be calm and dignified here, but I could tell she couldn't help it. She clapped her hand over her mouth as her shoulders heaved with mirth. Finally, she managed to get control of herself.
But Jin, if you brought the rock here, what are we going to sit on during our trips to Verdant Hill?
She said, with a faux serious voice. That was actually a good question. We needed our special rock.
I'll find another rock. I like this one and want it here, I told her, before smirking. I think I'll carry it around wherever we travel so the whole world can know the tale of the Lover's Rock.
We both burst into giggles at the sheer absurdity of what I had done, but my Mei Mei had a fond smile on her face. The squabbling over who got to give gifts when seemed to have ended, and surprisingly, Mei Hua and Ting Feng seemed to have won.
Brother Jin, Ting Feng called, approaching us. Here are some scrolls on mechanical engineering, as I said I would find for you, on water wheels.
Thank you, Brother Ting Feng.
Some people might say it's sad that I had to ask for tech support from people 1,000 years behind me, but hell, I didn't study it. I just needed to know how the damn gears went together properly.
And really, how many modern people actually knew how their crap worked well enough to reproduce it? Mei Ling got a pestle made of silver from Mei Hua. Apparently, some medicinal herbs worked better when cut or crushed with silver, which was another one of those blatantly magical things that still, for some reason, caught me off guard. Xiaolan got second place. She eagerly came up, then bowed, proceeding to empty her cart to better present her gifts.
"Master Jin, I hope that any of these will please you," she said. "A 10 poison resistance herb, 3 peach trees and 2 of apple from the palace gardens of Grass Sea City, the skulls of a 4 poison serpent and a reaper wolf, and the shell of a wrecker ball."
I stared blankly at the familiar shape of the shell. That was just a big-ass armadillo shell. With spikes, because why not? Honestly, I didn't know what to do with those.
"And finally, a plow," she said with a flourish, taking off the cover of her bundle.
I had to stifle a laugh. I hadn't been expecting that back, or for Xiaolan to take my joke seriously. She, too, had a knowing smile on.
"And these? These are from a merchant whose life I saved. I mentioned going to a wedding, and he gave me these to give as a gift."
Xiaolan grabbed a bag and pulled out a lumpy, almost sphere.
"He called them earth apples from Yellow Rock Plateau."
My eyes focused completely on one of the best wedding gifts I could have ever gotten. She seemed surprised by my sudden focus on the potato.
"Thank you, Xiaolan. Those will be very important."
She stared in incomprehension at the humble spud.
"As you say, Master Jin," she replied with a bow, then handed the precious cargo over to me. "This one will reflect upon her fortune."
The gift-giving continued. Brother Chu gave us a set of knives I had commissioned from him. I just had 2, a cleaver and a smaller blade, but this was a full assortment of cooking knives. From the big cleavers to smaller daggers, they all gleamed and had been forged with passion. The Song family gave a few really nice leather bags and a new bow. From Uncle Bao, we received several scrolls on windmills and another medical scroll. The feast was the magistrate's gift, as well as a whispered,
"I hope our relationship continues. Should you need anything, I am at your service."
Other things were far more humble. A nice straw hat from one of the villagers, a few small storage containers, cloth for when we had children. Some even just had rice or a carved pendant for Mei Ling. I appreciated all of them and thanked each person who came up. I was actually starting to get a little emotional at the gifts. It was humbling. It was touching. These people were earnestly wishing me well. They meant it. I was so very glad that I left the sect and came here. And then it was time. Mei Hua came to collect Mei Ling as I walked to the altar and stood alone for several minutes. Mei Hua rebraided Mei Ling's hair and wrapped a shawl around her shoulders.
"I'm glad that there isn't much speaking involved for us, because I don't trust my voice."
First, we served tea to Xian. Normally, we would be serving tea to our fathers and grandfathers, but Zhou's gramps was off somewhere, if he was even still alive, and everybody else was already gone. There was only Xian. We mostly just listened to the priest and bowed when instructed. There was no staring into each other's eyes. There was no "I do" or a kiss. But there was one thing I remembered from the weddings back in the before. We bowed 3 times towards the west as I muttered an old, old saying under my breath. And then it was over. We were married. Big D let out a triumphant cry, his voice echoing over the hills as we stood with our fingers entwined. Mei Ling stared up at me, her face flushed red and a radiant smile on her face.
"Fuck it. There's gonna be a kiss."
The crowd cheered and hollered as I claimed my prize. Mei Ling didn't hesitate to kiss back. Now, originally, we were supposed to be escorted immediately to the marriage bed, but as the last male of my line, I also had to entertain my guests. So tradition was broken, thankfully, and I got to enjoy the first night of my own wedding party. Mei Mei and I were attached by the hip and leaning against each other. Her smaller hand was warm in mine, and she was holding onto my arm like she thought I was going to disappear. All around us, family and friends partied.
Children chased Chunky through the tables or threw things for Washi to catch. Peppa was sitting with Xian, my father-in-law, saying something to her. Big D was on the roof, Rizzo on his back. His eyes were closed, and he looked at peace. Tigger was also on the roof, having a staring contest with Sholan. There was some music, but there needed to be a bit more entertainment. Yunzhen, I called, and he paused from where he was, holding the recording crystal. I gestured for it, and he nodded, pleased. Really, it was more like a digital camera and a projector than anything. It even had a search function. I fiddled with it and, holy crap, Yunzhen took a lot of pictures. I pressed some of my chi into it and unleashed the bane that was the wedding slideshow. It would even have my pipa playing in the background. The banjo-like instrument actually sounded pretty good, playing one of my favorites. I would never see any Ghibli movies again, but the music stayed with me. There was a lull as everybody realized what was going on, turning to look at the pictures projected into the air. Some of them were my own. Chunky and Gojen playing hockey, Big D silhouetted against the moon, Washi in his lair. But most were Yunzhen's. Mei Ling and Xian smiling at each other. The people of Hongyao Wu shouting something. Xiaolan with a pancake hanging out of her mouth. The woman shouted with outrage at that one, and I started laughing. I just sat back and watched. I have to say, I got a little misty-eyed at all the images as they scrolled across the wall. Yunzhen's pictures were good. Really good. He had an eye for this sort of thing. I almost wished I could print them out and hang them up. Eventually, it ended. Yunzhen looked over at me, smiling proudly. You like him? He asked hopefully. I handed him back the recording crystal. Wedding isn't over yet, I told him. His eyes brightened, and he eagerly took the recording crystal back. But all things end. We were escorted to the marriage bed. I would have liked to enjoy the party a bit more, but apparently our duties were a bit too important. The leering grins of the people around us told me that we were about to have a fun time. Apparently, it was customary for close friends and family to make fun of the couple when they were in the room together.
Look at them. They were trying to get started outside already, Yao Che bellowed. Are you both that eager?
Xian sighed.
Ay-ya, where have I gone wrong to raise such a lustful daughter? I have a second gift for you, sister,
Mei Hua said, handing Mei Ling a scroll. I caught the title, The Bedroom Arts.
I've read this one already,
Mei Mei deadpanned, her face a bit red as she shoved the scroll behind her. Mei Hua made an exaggerated, scandalized gasp.
Jin, be careful not to break her, okay?
Mei Hua teased.
And remember what I told you to do with your hips, Mei Mei. Men love that.
Oh, trust me, there's no chance of him breaking her,
Cha ribbed, remembering one of the statues. Mei Ling was spectacularly unimpressed as we both got a cup connected by a red string. Another tradition, this one I think meant to symbolize our bond or something. One last drink before bed. Yunzhen's eyes narrowed, and he leered as he handed me the recording crystal.
Make sure you make a good memory, all right? We can use this as proof that Mei Mei is a woman and not a boy pretending.
Mei Mei nearly spat out the wine and whipped her head around to glare. There was laughter and jeering as we were poked at. It was a pretty lame tradition, but it was kind of funny. Soon enough, the teasing tapered off, and all that was left was the sounds of people enjoying themselves outside.
My son, my daughter, I wish you good fortune,
Xian told us, a soft smile on his face. Mei Hua kissed Mei Mei on the forehead. Chua slapped a hand onto my back. The Song brothers nodded. The door shut with an odd finality. We were alone. We both flopped backwards onto the bed, our heads side by side.
It barely feels real,
Mei Ling murmured. Quite a whirlwind romance, huh? I asked, amused. She giggled and rolled over onto her side and stared into my eyes.
What was that you whispered at the altar?
She asked me.
Oh, she caught that.
I cleared my throat.
An oath. To have and to hold. From this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part.
Mei Ling's eyes widened.
I never took you for a poet, she mused to me.
I'm just copying somebody else. I'm no wordsmith, I replied.
Mei Ling hummed. To have and to hold, from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part, she recited.
Our lips met. She tasted a bit like wine and a bit sweet.
Mei Mei pulled at my arm, and I rolled so she was beneath me. My hand brushed her hair out of her face and rested on her cheek. Nervousness, excitement, arousal. She bit her lip as she looked up at me.
She grabbed the back of my head and pulled me down into her embrace.
Bidi sat under the light of the crescent moon. Today had been a good day. Sister Rizu had returned to them. The people had given the great master proper supplication. He had taken the great healing sage into his household. Bidi's radiance was magnified tenfold with the great master's bow tie. But most importantly of all, the land was well and truly awake. Instead of being turned inwards, he could feel the energy flowing, the land's attention ghosting over flowers and into trees. It was warm and inquisitive. He was standing watch, gazing out under the sublime beauty of Pharam, when he felt the energy of his great master stir.
Oh, he thought. Oh my.
Sister Rizu squeaked from on top of his back. Tigu started, looking around in confusion as something stirred beneath the earth. The chi of two separate beings mingled. The lesser was not snuffed out. The greater was undiminished. Both were calm, kind, and gentle. Nurturing, swirling, and combining, two separate parts bonded together in a greater whole. The energy of the land shuddered as another connected to it. The trees seemed to perk up. The grass waved in an invisible breeze. Yin joined yang. The land sighed in contented wholeness. Two hearts beat at the same time. Two souls pulsed to the same rhythm, yet both were unique, working together for a goal beyond his understanding. Bidi observed the changes in the world, and he was content.